Well, good morning, everyone, and a special welcome to the John Hunter Fan Club, for this is the ordination of John Hunter as an elder. So we're pleased to have his mum, Elizabeth, his wife, Arlene, and son, John, beside him. We welcome everybody, and you're all welcome with a cup of tea or coffee at the end of the service in the small hall. Today, at 3 o'clock-ish, there's a non-event I'd like to invite you to. The Minister's Fraternal in Saltcoats has been trying to organise a joint event together. But every time we try and organise something, there's always some hiccup. And in sheer frustration, we said to each other, well, let's organise a non-event. So it's roughly 3 o'clock. It's roughly at the seafront, at the bandstand area, and it's not very organised. We're inviting all of you to turn up, just have a walk along the seafront and bump into each other and meet other Christians from other congregations and see where that leads. We'll be just standing around chatting, mingling, and we might bring some rabbits out of the hat. If they are runners, they run, and if they don't, they don't. So it's just in the spirit of Christians getting together on a nice summer's day down at the seafront, roughly 3 to 3:30-ish time. I commend to you all the intimations. I won't go through them all, but I highlight the congregational board meets on Tuesday at 7. The midweek worships, having the last midweek worship before the summer, at 11 on Wednesday. The prayer time at 10:30, and the office is open, and the volunteers, you're invited to volunteer on Friday to help clean the church or help with the church grounds. Next Sunday is communion, and for your interest, South Beach Home is celebrating its 60th anniversary with a special service this Thursday at 2 o'clock, and Arran View Home is holding an open day this Friday. The food bank, I commend to you, and the Malawi box too. The Baptist Church have asked me to intimate that tonight at 6:30, someone will be giving their testimony, their life story, on Is Jesus Still Relevant? At 6:30 in the Baptist Church. And this Wednesday, in the afternoon, there's a sing-along. Yeah, good afternoon tea and sing along, 2:30 till 4. So John is being ordained as an elder today. Linda McDougall was telling me just now that this is the anniversary, 20th anniversary of her ordination, and this year is the 50th anniversary of Jim Forsyth becoming an elder. So there's a long tradition. That's what John's coming into. Imagine 50 years from now, John. So let us worship God. We sing hymn 412, Will Your Anchor Hold? One of Jesus' disciples was called John, and his namesake, it was a fisherman. And John's job is to work on cruise ships. So there's a nautical theme running through our service today. Hymn 412.
Come on.
Jesus said, "You did not choose me, I chose you." Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting Heavenly Father, we praise and worship you for choosing us and for choosing John Hunter in particular. You chose Jeremiah from his mother's womb before he was born. As St. Paul says, you chose us from the foundation of the earth, before the world began. Lost sheep can never find their shepherd, but the good shepherd can find the lost sheep. And you are that good shepherd. You choose to work in and through us. What a privilege for us. How patient you must be. You come to us and you ask of us love and service. You call us to leave our nets and our fish to catch men and women. You catch us. You stop us on our road to Damascus. You come to us like Isaiah in the temple or Moses on the hillside. But one way or another, you choose us. You choose us. You know us. But you don't reject us. You choose us. We know that we fail, we sin, we are earthen vessels. If we were you, O God, we would not have the same patience with us. As it is, we lose patience with ourselves and our constant failings. Forgive our wrong choices. Forgive our mistakes. We thank you that you wash us. And we are whiter than snow. You create a clean heart in us. You put a new and right spirit within us. Help us then to leave the past behind, to forget the sins and failings which you have forgiven and forgotten. And by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, may we be led on to ever new and greater adventures in the faith. Call us, fit us, inspire us, use us. In particular, we ask you to call and fit, inspire and use John Hunter. Bless his family too. And hear us as we pray together, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I thought it would be useful just to take in a 2-minute history of the eldership to remind us all of what this is about and how it's come to this moment. The eldership goes back 3,000 years to the time of Moses and the Israelites out in the wilderness. You can read about it in the book of Numbers, chapter 11. The Israelites were complaining to Moses about the state of play out in the wilderness. Life wasn't the way they thought it would be once they Brexited Egypt. Moses was complaining to God about the people that God had left him in charge of. What a bunch. What did I do to deserve this? God is complaining to Moses. I take you out of Egypt, I get you across the Red Sea, I provide manna in the wilderness, and all they do is moan, not manna again. And in that context, God comes up with a solution. He says to Moses, choose 70 leaders of the people, and they will share the burden of leadership. So Moses instituted this body of 70 elders who would run the affairs of the people of Israel. When they settled in the Promised Land, they settled into communities and they had synagogues. And in every synagogue, we had elders. And they organized the not only spiritual life of the community, but all the life of the community. Synagogues were education centers, political centers, just the center of the community. And the elder was at the heart of it. In the early church, Paul and Silas and others went round the Mediterranean founding new Christian churches. And in every church that they started up, they had elders in charge. Over the centuries, there have been two sorts of elders. There are teaching elders, ministers or priests, and there are ruling elders. The elders that you see here. For many centuries, the teaching elders dominated the ruling elders. It became the one-man show. But at the Reformation, one of the reforms that they made was to bring back the importance of the ruling elder. The word presbyteros in Greek we translate in English as elder. From the word presbyteros, we get the word presbytery, Presbyterian. John Knox was very instrumental in highlighting the importance of the ruling elders. We are an elder church. I don't just mean getting older. We're a church that's run by the elders. So there's the minister, the church session and the congregational board as a trinity. Each have their respective duties and functions, but each has to cooperate with the others, and we work together as three in one. So John will become a member of the church session, a member of the congregational board. He'll also have a pastoral district. So he'll be a little minister in his own little parish. The whole of Scotland's divided into parishes and districts of parishes. The precise job description of an elder is not specified exactly. It's really about relationships. It's about people. It's about clicking. So as John and other elders go about their districts, it all depends on how well the elder and the people get on with each other. Sometimes it leads to all kinds of interesting, sometimes funny developments. But that's the beauty of it. It's open-ended and it's open to creative things. So John, welcome to the wonderful world of eldership. And the main thought I'd like to leave you all thinking, as John thinking, it begins with ordination. What does ordination mean? Well, in the usual simple meaning of the word, it is ordained, it is decreed, it is decided. Someone high up has said it will be so. God has said it will be so that John become an elder. John didn't think this up himself and decide to do it. He was given a call through the congregation and directly by God, will you come and follow me? Will you be one of my disciples? Will you become a fisher of men? And John has said yes to that call. It's lovely to think that God has specifically called John specifically called Each of Us. We all serve in different ways. I may be a teaching elder, they are ruling elders, but every Christian has a ministry within Jesus' ministry. So let's celebrate that fact. Let's sing from your sheet, Will You Come and Follow Me? Our first reading is taken from Psalm 107, reading from verse 23. It's a famous reading about the sea. Some sailed over the ocean in ships, earning their living on the seas. They saw what God can do, his wonderful acts on the seas. He commanded, and a mighty wind began to blow and stirred up the waves. The ships were lifted high in the air and plunged down into the depths. In such danger, the men lost their courage. They stumbled and staggered like drunken men. All their skill was useless. Then in their trouble, they called to the Lord, and he saved them from their distress. He calmed the raging storm, and the waves became quiet. They were glad because of the calm, and he brought them safe to the port they wanted. They must thank the Lord for his constant love, for the wonderful things he did for them. They must proclaim his greatness in the assembly of the people and praise him before the council of the leaders. And turning to the New Testament, to Mark chapter 1 at verse 14. After John the Baptist had been put in prison, Jesus went to Galilee and preached the good news from God. The right time has come, he said, and the kingdom of God is near. Turn away from your sins and believe the good news. As Jesus walked along the shore of Lake Galilee, he saw two fishermen, Simon and his brother Andrew, catching fish with a net. Jesus said to them, "Come with me, and I will teach you to catch men." At once they left their nets and went with him. He went a little further on and saw two other brothers, James and John, the sons of Zebedee. They were in their boat getting their nets ready. As soon as Jesus saw them, he called them. They left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men, and they went with Jesus. Amen, and thanks be to God. Now let's sing together from the Red Book 211, Jesus Calls Us. And I'd like to thank Kathleen for deputising for Harry on the PowerPoint today. This is obviously a very special occasion in the life of John Hunter, and of course for his family, and for us as a congregation. It's also a special occasion for the Church of Jesus Christ throughout the world, in heaven and on earth. And it's a very special occasion for God. This is the culmination of many things all coming together. The ordination of John Hunter goes right back into the mists of eternity, from before the world began. God saw the end from the beginning, and he chose in his wisdom to create the heavens and the earth, time and space, the planet Earth, Scotland, Saltcoats North Parish Church, the year 2019, and a man called John. God did not want to be God without us, without John. God said to the prophet Jeremiah, but it applies to John, and it applies to all of us really, "I chose you before I gave you life. Before you were born, I selected you." Jesus put it, "You did not choose me, I chose you, and appointed you to go and bear much fruit." And God's words to Joshua when he assumed office, "Moses, my servant, is dead, but as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Fear not, for I am with you. I will always be with you. I will never abandon you. So be determined and confident. Don't be afraid or discouraged, for I, the Lord your God, am with you wherever you go. So no one is more excited today than God. God's been working towards the ordination of John Hunter since forever. And now it's about to happen. God's wish is coming true. God's will is being done. God has used many helpers, of course, especially James and Elizabeth Hunter, whom God appointed as parents to bring up John. They have brought him up in the faith, and God sent Billy Hunter, John's uncle, as a role model elder to show him the way ahead. God gave John a good supportive wife in Arlene and a loving family with the two boys, Daniel and John. God provided ministers, Sunday school teachers, scout leaders, many others to nudge him along to this climactic moment. God supplied him with two congregations. There was St. John's Church in Ardrossan, and now here in Saltcoats North Parish Church. And we're both chuffed to see the little boy grow up in the faith and become an elder in Saltcoats North Parish Church, but in the Church of Scotland, in the Church of Jesus Christ, on earth and in heaven, with a rich historical heritage, a wide geographic spread, and a dimension above. But all of that would still require one last piece in the jigsaw: John agreeing to do so, freely choosing to respond, being willing to accept the calling. God can be a persistent wooer, but he never kicks the door down and forces us. We have to say yes. God is forever calling people, and many respond favorably, but many more don't. It takes faith, courage, love, dedication, commitment, a willingness to serve God, and a willingness to reach out beyond self to other people. God graciously gives us all these necessary skills, but we have to graciously accept them and practice them. Whom God calls, he also fits. But it does require our free will cooperation. John has been on a long spiritual journey, culminating in this moment right now. He began as a baby born to James and Elizabeth Hunter. He became a toddler, a little boy, a schoolboy, a paper boy, a student at Glasgow's Nautical College, then a qualified marine engineer, doing his cadetship on the Ben Line on board container ships, and then working for 23 years with P&O, which later became P&O Princess. And for the past 3 years, and currently, he works for Thomson Cruises, which have now become TUI, Tourism Union International, and he works on board the Morella Celebration Ship. John's title is a hotel service engineer. He's worked for many years in the engine rooms of ships. Now he has responsibilities not only for engine rooms, but all over the ship. Under him, there are 20 people, including plumbers, carpenters, upholsterers, tile setters, hotel engineers, deck fitters, galley fitters. John met his wife, Arlene, while they were both working on the P&O Sea Princess cruise ship. She was and still is a sea princess. John's spiritual journey has led him to becoming a husband and a father to Daniel and John. He's travelled a long way through the storms of life and the nautical miles, literally around the globe, all over the world. He's seen storms in the Atlantic, the Bay of Biscay, and many other places. Imagine commuting to work from Salt Coats to the Pacific Ocean. But the geographicness of that is only a parable of how he has come a long way psychologically and spiritually. He has grown a lot and matured from Sunday school and scouts to making profession of faith till now becoming a kirk elder. The words that we read earlier in Psalm 107 are particularly appropriate for John. It's a chapter all about different people should praise God for different things. And then it says, some people sail all over the ocean in ships, earning their living on the seas. They see what the Lord can do. The storms come, the ship goes up and it crashes down, and God brings them safely to port. They should be thanking and praising God too. Well, John's been there literally, done it, got the T-shirt. He's come through a lot, all by the grace of God. Jesus, who calmed the storm on the Sea of Galilee, when even experienced seamen like Peter and Andrew, James and John, John's namesake, when they were scared stiff, the original disciples learned after that to trust Jesus and to follow him. Peter even went as far as learn to get overboard for Jesus and walk on water and do the impossible, as long as Jesus was holding his hand. Our John has also learned through his life to trust Jesus and to follow Jesus, and sometimes to even walk on water with Jesus to do what he could otherwise not do. Peter walking on water is my favorite Bible story. It's the thing that comes into my mind every time I feel out of my depth. I remember it was Peter, ordinary Pete from down the street, who could do the impossible with Jesus. Down the centuries, the church has often been painted as Noah's Ark. The thought is fairly obvious. The world is full of sin and under the judgment of God. But God does provide a means of salvation from his punishment. Everyone aboard Noah's Ark was saved from the flood. Everyone who did not get on board drowned. Noah, the man of faith, and his family and all the animals were saved and able to start a new life. God has always provided a means of salvation, the ark, with Captain Noah, a lifeboat and crew. He sent Moses to get the Israelites out. He got them back from exile. He's provided the church for our community. Those who decline the gracious provision perish in the storms of life. And you can see how the godless people get into pickles with no divine help, and it's hell on earth. Only this week, I learned another story about my grandfather, Alexander Buchan Noble, after whom I'm named. I keep getting new discoveries as my dad tells me more about his dad. He was a fisherman from Fraserburgh, and he was caught up in the Second World War, which meant that his fishing boat was redesignated a naval vessel, which meant that the whole crew got one gun, and he got a peak cap. It was Dad's army on sea in many senses. He was sent to Scapa Flow, where a famous British battleship was berthed, in the full safety of the harbour. It was thought to be perfectly safe. But there was one U-boat commander, particularly daring, who managed to negotiate all the defences, get right into the harbour, and he blew up the battleship. My grandfather and his boat was used to rescue people from the sea. They were covered in oil, they were struggling to stay afloat, And as he reached out to pick up people and bring them onto his boat, for everyone that he could pull on board, there was two or three others he could see into their eyes, and he had to just let them drown. He rescued as many as he could. He was satisfied he'd saved lives, but he was haunted for the rest of his life by the faces that were drowning around him. Noah must have felt similarly. We feel similarly. The church is the way out of hell. But so many people do not know that. And we do our best to reach out to others. And we celebrate when we get new folk to come. But we're heartbroken at the ones who do not take the rescuing hand, or we've not enough hands to rescue. But it is our honour and our privilege to be used by God to reach out a helping hand to pull drowning people to safety on board God's ark, the church. It is a greater honour to be an official leader like an elder, John. It's not easy to be a Noah in today's world. It's not easy to walk on water like Peter did. It's not easy to be on board the ship as the storm rages and it seems that Jesus is just asleep and doesn't notice. It's not easy to be an elder in the Church of Jesus Christ at this moment. But it is thrilling, and it is an honour, a privilege, a pleasure to be one of Jesus' crew, to be able to help save lives. And fear not, for Jesus is our captain always. As the children's chorus says, with Jesus in the boat, we can smile at the storm. Let me finish by quoting my own words as I rewrote Psalm 23 on the occasion of the launching of Dunbar's new lifeboat. The Lord is my captain, I shall not drown. He rescues me from the wild seas. He bears me home to the safe haven. He restores my soul. Even though I sail through the storms and gales of the deep ocean, I will fear no harm. For you are with me. Your chart and compass steer me. You plot the way home for me through the raging waves. You calm my trembling heart. My joy runs over. Truly sacrificial love protects me all the days of my life. And I will rest in the harbour of the Lord forever. Amen. Now the offering for the work of the Lord will be received. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for calling us to have a share in your ministry. And so we lay before you our time, our talents, and our money, and we dedicate our whole lives to your service. Amen. Let's sing together hymn 431, Jesus Master, Whose I Am. 431. St. Paul writes to the Romans, "We have many parts in the one body, and all of these parts have different functions. In the same way, though we are many, we are one body in union with Christ. We're all joined to each other as different parts of the body. So we are to use our different gifts in accordance with the grace that God has given us. If our gift is to speak God's message, we should do it according to the faith we have. If it is to serve, we should serve. If it is to teach, we should teach. If it is to encourage others, we should do so. Whoever shares with others should do it generously. Whoever has authority should work hard. Whoever shows kindness to others should do it cheerfully. Love must be completely sincere. Hate what is evil, hold to what is good. Love one another warmly as Christian brothers and sisters, and be eager to show respect for one another. Work hard, do not be lazy. Serve the Lord with a heart full of devotion, and let hope keep you joyful. Be patient in your troubles, and pray at all times." Brothers and sisters in Christ, Saltcoats North Parish Church Kirk Session, having resolved to add to the number of elders, has chosen John Ingalls Hunter. Since due notice has been given and no objection has been offered to his life and doctrine, we therefore proceed. So John Ingalls Hunter, will you come forward? In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the King and Head of the Church, who being ascended on high and has given gifts to the people for the building up of the body of Christ the Church, we are met here to ordain to the office of eldership John Ingalls Hunter. In this act of ordination, the Church of Scotland, as part of the one holy, Catholic, or universal and apostolic Church, worshipping one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, affirms anew its belief in the gospel of the sovereign grace and love of God. Through Jesus Christ incarnate, crucified, and risen, God offers everyone forgiveness of sins, renewal by the Holy Spirit, and eternal life, all received in penitence and faith. And God calls us to work in the fellowship of faith for the advancement of the kingdom of God throughout the world. The Church of Scotland acknowledges the Word of God, which is contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments, to be the supreme rule of faith and life. The Church of Scotland holds as its subordinate standard the Westminster Confession of Faith, recognizing liberty of opinion on such points of doctrine as do not enter into the substance of the faith, and claiming the right, in dependence on the promised guidance of the Holy Spirit, to formulate, interpret, or modify its subordinate standards, always in agreement with the Word of God and the fundamental doctrines of the Christian faith contained in the Confession, of which agreement the Church itself shall be the sole judge. In view of this declaration, John, you're now required to answer the following questions. Do you believe the fundamental doctrines of the Christian faith?
I do.
Do you promise to seek the unity and peace of this Church?
I do.
Do you promise to uphold its doctrine, worship, government, and discipline? And do you promise to take your due part in the administration of its affairs?
I do.
You're now required to sign the formula which all ministers, readers, and elders sign on taking office. And as you sign it, I'll read what you're signing. It says, I believe in the fundamental doctrines of the Christian faith contained in the Confession of Faith of this Church. I acknowledge the Presbyterian government of this Church to be agreeable to the Word of God, and promise that I will submit thereto and concur therewith. And I promise to observe the order of worship and the administration of all public ordinances as the same are or may be allowed in this Church. Let us pray. O Lord our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we praise and thank you for your Church and for calling us to serve within it. You have indeed given many different gifts to many different people, all for the building up of your Church, so that she may be a reflection of your light and the channel of your life and love and power and peace to the world around us. We pray now for your worldwide Church and for Saltcoats North Parish Church. And we pray for your blessing on the Kirk session and upon John, the latest new elder in your service. Those whom you call, you also fit. So grant John, as you have promised, all that he needs so that he may faithfully serve you. Fill him with your Holy Spirit. Teach him. Make him pure in heart, unselfish, always zealous for the advancement of your kingdom and the well-being of your Church. Keep him faithful to the end, and when you, the chief shepherd, will appear, let him receive with all the redeemed a crown of glory that never fades. And may he hear you say, well done, you good and faithful servant. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I will say a blessing, and then I'll ask you to join in singing a blessing. It will be hymn 556. John, may God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit give you wisdom, courage, and energy to serve him all your life. Fear not, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. God has called you, and he will never fail you. Let's sing, "The Lord bless you and keep you." Please be upstanding. 556. John, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the King and Head of the Church, I now declare you to have been ordained to the office of the eldership and to service in this congregation and parish. In token of this, we will now give you the right hand of fellowship. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Would you like to come up? That's fine. Please be seated. At this point, I'm commissioned to say something to John as the new elder, and something to you as the congregation. So let me start with John. Always remember that you are not called because you are special. You are special because you are called. You're not called to be successful. You're called to be faithful. You don't have to be the most able and talented person in the world, but you can surely be the most willing and eager. God does not need lots of extraordinary people. What God wants is ordinary people living ordinary lives amongst ordinary people, facing ordinary issues, all in God's extraordinary, enabling love and power and grace. You are a channel, but He is the substance. You are a signpost, but He is the one signified. You are an instrument, but He is the master musician. Remember that when He calls somebody, He enables them. And let me say to you as a congregation, I exhort each of you and all of you together to support John and all your elders, to receive them into your homes and into your hearts, to share the ministry of Christ with them, to pray for the elders as the elders pray for you. We're each called by God to serve Him in our own various ways and together as a team. So let us all work together for the upbuilding of the body of Christ and the extension of His kingdom to others. Jesus is the minister, but as elders and members, He commissions us to go into all the world and share the good news and all that He has done, all that He is doing, and all that He will do. Let us pray. Lord, we commit John to your care. Be with him wherever life leads from this moment. We commit ourselves to your care. Guide us as a congregation through whatever comes to us. And we pray for your blessing on particular individuals in the members of the body of Christ. We think today of those who are ill. We pray for your blessing on Robert Howie, Harry Duff, Harry McElreevy, Gloria Smith, Margaret Curlett, Ruth Carson, Ruth Cowan, Sheila McClellan, Sylvia Bell. And we pray for members of our family who are grieving at this time, mourning the loss of their loved one. And we pray for our wider world. We think of the rising tensions between America and Iran. We think of the tension between China and Hong Kong, Israelis and Palestinians, the trade war between America and China, the concentration camps in China with 1 million prisoners. We think of Sudan, Venezuela, Yemen, Syria, and a very important election today in Turkey. We think of our own country trying to elect a new prime minister and struggling with Brexit. 100 people have been stabbed to death this year in our country. And we think of the global scale warming, the deadly diseases like Ebola and cholera getting worse. And we think of your church. As a presbytery, we pray today for Kilwinning Old Parish and its vacancy, with its deacon Isabel Beck. But we pray for all your people everywhere in many different circumstances. So work in us and through us. For your name's sake, amen. So John, I'd like to present you with this certificate. And also in there, your district that you've been allocated. And this is a Bible, because it's central to all that we do. And would you like to come and join the Kirk session now? Take your seat amongst their number. And let's all sing together our closing hymn. It's a hymn of rededication of ourselves. 428, Lord of Creation. 428 in the Red Book.
Thank you.
May God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit enable you to uplift your anchors, hoist your sails, leave the port, and set off for new horizons beyond what the eye can see, now and always. Amen.